At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
3.7 to go. Everybody runs down the floor. James, long pass down the floor. Cryer tips it. Loose. Knipple has it. Throws to Proctor. Heaves up a three. No good. Houston from behind. 14 down to the national championship game. And for the first time since 1984, Houston will play for a men's basketball national championship. It's Houston and Florida in San Antonio on Monday night.
Well, I hope you guys had a good weekend, because that was as good a weekend, and we'll lead with the Cougs here, I promise. But that was, if you're a Houston sports fan, that was about as good a weekend as you could get. Friday, beating up on OKC at home, full strength OKC. Saturday, Ben, play the music, by God. Yeah, let's do this, yeah. Saturday, Cougs, we just heard that. You beat Duke, and you beat Duke in a way that is going to sting for them for a long, long time. And then yesterday afternoon, the Astros come back from down 7-1 against the hated, yes, you heard me, hated Minnesota Twins, hated by me. Then last night, you beat up on Golden State by 16 in a game where Draymond and Steph combined for single-digit points, and Draymond loses his mind the entire game. Oh, Seth, what a weekend, man.
It was a great weekend. What day is today, Sean?
Today is Monday. We are here. Thank you. It's going to be a great week.
You ran the gamut Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Good job. You got all the days right and everything.
It's a minefield. Yes. Let's go.
Clutch City.
Let's go.
That's right. The spirit of Clutch City is raining down upon you. I liked yesterday during the Astros game, Callis continually invoking the Cougs in the Astros' ability to come back from a seemingly insurmountable deficit and deliver us, more than anything else, watchable baseball.
Yeah.
There was, for a half of that game yesterday, I thought to myself, you know what? This is watchable baseball, and I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah. I was out to brunch with several friends of ours at Cadillac Bar. A table of eight. We had three mimosa towers, and while we were drinking the mimosa towers, the Astros were getting their heads handed to them. But once we got done drinking mimosa towers and we went home, that's where the fun began for the Astros. So I blame us, all our friends, for drinking mimosas during because the Astros were playing like they were drinking mimosas.
What's a mimosa tower look like?
It's
stacked up champagne glasses.
Yeah, or? No. It's literally like you know those candy things they have in the press box at NRG Stadium. With the M&Ms in it, and you just hit the latch and it spills out M&Ms into a cup for you.
Yeah.
It's like that, but thinner and with mimosas in it.
So a big tube of mimosas.
Yep.
That you can just, it's got a dispenser at the bottom.
A little faucet at the bottom. Yeah, yeah.
Well, does it have different flavors of mimosas?
They may, but we got the same.
They have multiple different tubes? Oh,
no,
okay.
It was just three of the same tubes, and we went after it, man. We got after it because it was a great weekend to do it. Weather was nice. It was great. So, good morning, my friend. How are you feeling after this weekend?
I feel good. I do feel awesome. Obviously, that was one for the ages with the Cougs. Yeah. And credit to all of them and Kelvin Sampson for just flat out being... honestly, there's somebody you're going to invoke for a long, long time as, hey, don't leave yet. Don't get out of your seats. Don't go try to beat traffic. Don't be one of those cold and timid souls that believes that it's over before it's over, because they just kept doing their thing, and ultimately the Duke couldn't handle it. Duke hadn't faced a top 20 defense in this calendar year, and they go up against the best defense in the league and all of a sudden just go completely dry in the last 3 minutes of the game. It was beautiful.
Yeah, they went dry. Yeah, they went dry for a while. They had a stretch, the Cougs did, of about 6 minutes and change of basketball where they only gave up one field goal.
Yeah.
They were the Blue Devils were stuck on 59 for a long time, and there were some just listening to Kelvin Sampson talk about it after the game, where in multiple interviews he said, "Man, our goal was to get it so that there was game pressure on Duke in the last minute or two of the game, because they hadn't faced a lot of that. They averaged, yeah, you know, they've been blowing teams out. If we can just get some game pressure on them." And when they were down by 14 with about 9 minutes to go, that sequence where you get Cryer hits a three to get it to 11, they get the technical foul on Mason Gillis on the scrum after the made basket, where he gets an elbow, I forget which Coug it was, but right up in somebody's face, and you get a technical free throw, you get two, you missed one of them, but you get another possession and they score again. That was a big swing. That was 6 points they chipped away when they were down 14 in a matter of seconds. And that got it back to manageable. You know, you're always trying to get it. You're down by 14. Let's get it down to 10, 9, 8. So they were in that 10, 9, 8 range. And then the Emmanuel Sharpe three with 34 seconds to go that made it a three-point game was like, okay, yeah, well, this is now interesting here.
And credit to Juwan Roberts, who in the second half they said, all right, you know what? Juwan Roberts can handle Cooper Flagg on his own. We're letting too many of these other guys dink and dunk us through their opportunities they're getting by trying to focus all of our energy on Cooper Flagg. And Cooper Flagg, this is something that was known going into the game, a couple times this year has struggled, has not been a guy who looks like the number one overall pick in the draft when in the final minute late of games, a close game.
Yep.
Yeah. So to be able to force the shot to Cooper Flagg and not give him an easy shot and for him to miss it at the end, like, Juwan Roberts did what he had to do that entire second half. To what we talked about before the game, at the very least, look, Cooper Flagg's going to eat, and he was their leading scorer, but they made him inefficient, and he shoots less than 50%, and you just got to take them off of what works best for them. And they did, in hindsight, a brilliant job of it, but obviously needed that stretch of brilliance at the end.
They walked a tightrope to do it, that's for sure. And so now they play Florida tonight. Here was Kelvin Sampson. This is the interview that I think got most people's. He did several interviews after the game, and they were all great. I mean, this Cougs team is they're a great story. This was Kelvin Sampson, his on-court interview with Tracy Wolfson, with his team surrounding him on the floor after the game on Saturday.
Lucky to have them, but it's not lucky that they do what they do, because that's work. They trust their work. They trust their teammates. You know, I hear what people say. You know, Duke this, Duke that. Duke's great. John Shire is awesome. But don't sleep on Houston. Don't sleep on Houston. We weren't 34-4 playing in the Toy Poodle League. We were 19-1 in the Big 12. Playing in the Big 12 helped us. Shout out to my Big 12 brethren, Coach Brett Yermark, and all the great coaches in the Big 12.
Okay, so don't sleep on Houston was the money quote there. If that's not on a T-shirt, it should be. You know, if there's not a bunch
of... Oh, it's already... Yeah, I've seen others. Somebody's probably trying to file a trademark on it this morning.
Yeah. We got a lot of good T-shirt outlets here in town. I'm sure there's a bunch of Cougs in San Antonio tonight that will be wearing some version of Don't Sleep on Houston on their body, I would guess.
I liked them getting Big 12 love there as well. Mm-hmm. Although the Big 12 will never lend itself to as catchy a chant as SEC.
No.
SEC.
What did he call it? The Toy Poodle League?
Yeah.
he takes... Kelvin Sampson is he'd be a good guest on the Pettycast. You know, like he can take the funny thing is, like, the ACC didn't get a lot of love either. Like, the SEC had however many teams in the tournament, and here we've got a final. Well, the final is Florida. I guess we had Duke in the ACC yesterday. So, yeah, they're repping the Big 12 tonight, man, against the SEC in Florida.
I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to conjure up any of my, white-on-white hatred for Duke like you typically do so easily.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I just haven't been able to dredge up any hatred for Cooper Flagg. But that cold nipple knipple there, I'm done with him. He hit that backdoor cut in the first half, and that's it. I was like, I despise you.
Dude. He's
colonizer.
He's annoying. He's annoying. And be ready, because from what I hear, his family is like the next version of the Plumleys. Like there's like three brothers that are coming up through the ranks of high school.
I can't
right
wait
now.
To hate the Knipples.
Yeah. Dude, it is. I'm watching Stranger Things right now, and the Demo Gorgon always comes back every year. You think you killed him, and then he comes back. That's what the Knipples are. They're the Plumley Demo Gorgon, right? Like the monster is here, and it's the Knipple family coming. So this is what the level of improbability. I love stats like this when the team I'm rooting for is on the good end. Unlike the Texans, where they had like three losses like this year, we're like, hey, teams that did this are normally 152-2, and now they're 152-3.
The Texans had all the, like, forcing five interceptions and still losing the game.
They had
like
three of those this year.
Yeah.
So Duke did this thing where since 1986, teams that had the following things happen in a tournament game were 335-0. Higher field goal percentage than their opponents, more free throw attempts than their opponents, more assists than their opponents.
Saw that.
Fewer turnovers than their opponents.
Yeah.
And Duke didn't have many turnovers in this game. They only had seven turnovers in the game.
It felt like a football game in that regard.
Yes.
The turnover battle was very lopsided.
Lopsided, yeah. More steals than their opponent. If you did those five things since 1986, you were 335. You were part of a group that was 335-0. They are now 335-1. Thanks to John Shire, Cold Nipple Knipple, and Duke. Yes.
The win probability chart is one for you could put that on a t-shirt too.
Yes.
Because it was extreme the entire way. Houston had a couple spots there in the first few minutes where they had a higher win probability.
That's it.
But then it looked like a bear market to an extreme degree. We were flat out in the Great Depression there at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we invented the personal computer.
At the very end. There's one red line shooting straight up at the end.
Yeah.
That's it.
You can never predict exactly what's going to pull you out of a depression. Sometimes it's a world war, whatever. This time it was just brilliant.
It was, and I would say too, like, you know, on the Duke side, they're probably calling it a choke job, and I think it just depends in the eye of the beholder. Like, Houston,
it's so nice to see all those stupid Duke fans.
Oh, crying! Yeah. And I said to Amy, because I didn't get to see the whole game because I had an event on Saturday. We did get to watch the last 2 minutes of it at the bar afterwards, so that was cool. And anybody I talked to yesterday about it was like, well, that was the only part you needed to see was the last 2 minutes of the game if you're rooting for Houston. But I rewatched the last 15 minutes of the game. I rewatched from the time they got down 14 through the rest of the game last night. And, yeah, I said to Amy the same thing, Seth, after the game, where they were flashing around to different Duke people crying. I'm like, I could watch 2 hours of this. I could watch this like it was a feature film, just Duke people crying. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was great.
So, what was your event on Saturday night?
It was the Joe Niekro Foundation for AVM and aneurysm research.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they talked about Joe Niekro a good amount yesterday.
All-time leading wins.
On the broadcast.
Yeah, all-time leading wins for the Astros. Amy won the raffle. She won a 2.4-carat diamond in the raffle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a big night for the Pendergasts. So she's going to put it
4 carats.
Yeah.
What's she do with that?
She's going to put it in. She's going to put it in a pendant. Yeah.
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 Oh,
okay. So that's a pendant.
You should carry it around. There's nothing. It feels kind of badass carrying around loose diamonds.
Oh, I felt badass at the bar.
Get on an airplane or something. Just so all of a sudden they're like, hey, why are you carrying loose diamonds?
Yeah. Just because.
A little gangsta appeal there.
Because I don't have any emeralds on me. How's that sound? All right. That's why I'm carrying diamonds. Okay.
That used to be kind of a currency in the underworld, wasn't it? Just carrying around loose diamonds instead of crypto?
I wouldn't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Feels like I watched a movie once.
Yeah. The Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. He had diamonds laying around. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Victorious Monday. All right. Let's stick with hoops because the Kooks did some good things yesterday. The Rockets. I have a big question here after this weekend. Why not Houston? Why not the Rockets? We will discuss that. Coming up next.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, it was a really good weekend for basketball. in the city of Houston. Cougs will be playing in the finals tonight. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 610, by the way. We will be carrying the game tonight between the Cougs and the Florida Gators. 7:50 p.m. tip, which I'm sure people on the East Coast are thrilled about. Game starts at about 9 o'clock at night for people on the East Coast.
That's typical, though. That's a complaint every year that they have.
I would say it's dumb.
Sorry you'll be a little bit sleep-deprived before you get up and do all your cocaine and go help tank the markets.
That's okay, right.
Yeah. Sorry. Wall Street types.
That's true. I should be bitter at the East Coast right now. Yeah, I would say it's stupid, except they do it every year. I'm sure there's market research that says that's the right time to start the game. So that'll be tonight. We'll have that for you here on Sports Radio 610. Okay, so the big complaint with the Rockets, amidst a streak in which they've now won 15 of 17, the big complaint that people had about this streak, maybe outside the Houston fan base, or maybe even some within the Rockets, skeptics within the Rockets fan base, Seth, would say, we'll beat somebody good, and then we'll be impressed by this. Ignoring the fact that they beat a lot of good teams earlier this year. They beat Cleveland twice in like a three-day span. They beat the Celtics in Boston. They've beaten several other good teams during the season. They had a record at one point this season where against the top 10 teams in the NBA, record-wise, their record was like 12-4. They'd beaten good teams. But they had a stretch where they weren't beating good teams or anybody. They had a six-game losing streak. And then the schedule maker, Rockets can't control this. They had a stretch where they played a bunch of sad sack teams, and they took care of their business.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you're one of those people that is complaining that the Rockets haven't beaten good teams, can I interest you in a 125-111 victory over the Thunder on Friday, in which they led throughout most of that game? And then last night, a victory in San Francisco over a Warriors team that had their full complement of guys. Their big three are Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green. And they all played like crap. I mean, Steph Curry really played like crap. He scored 3 points in the entire game. The only bucket he scored was some circus shot with like 2 seconds left in the half. That was it for the night. And Steph Curry has been on a heater lately. He scored 52 points a few days ago. Like, he's been on one right now. He scored over 30 points in like the last 4 or 5 games. They went through the stats on the broadcast. So are we convinced now? Is this good enough for those of you out there who say I need to see them beat good teams? This is two dominating wins, one over the best team in the Western Conference, a team that was still mathematically in the mix to win 70 games this year. And then the Warriors, who, I don't know, according to Brian Windhorst, he says on Friday this week that they're basically, hey, I know they're the 6th seed, but they're basically the number 2 seed.
I have been arguing, Pelton, and you feel free to disagree with me, that the Warriors are truly the number 2 seed. Now, the Rockets fans would have something to say about that because the Rockets have been great over the last month. But if you look at the Rockets' schedule, it diminishes a little bit for me. But I certainly respect the Rockets. But the truth is that there's not that much of a difference between teams that are second and teams that are eighth.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that was recorded before the Rockets beat the Warriors 106-90 last night and held Steph Curry to 1-for-10 from the field, Draymond Green 1-for-5 from the field, and losing his mind, by the way, in the process. Draymond was absurd last night.
Draymond was just doing that classic thing you do where you almost wonder, how is this guy still in the league even? Because he just gets away with this. He's set the bar so low for expectations for his behavior that almost, like, Draymond has to go above and beyond what would normally get a guy ejected or suspended.
Bingo.
Because they just allow it. They've just allowed this to continue and fester.
It was unbelievable.
They've had this boil on their butt for years, and they haven't gotten it checked out.
I am watching his act last night. Like, he's planting a forearm in Alperen Şengün's chest on an inbounds play. Yeah. And basically yelling at the referees, daring them to give him a technical. And then finally, he just flat out shoves Şengün with a forearm. They tee him up. He goes running over to the ref and starts clapping right in his face.
Right.
And I'm going, if anybody else did this, that's a second technical and you're gone. And they're letting him run around like a 4-year-old. It's really incredible, the sliding scale that Draymond has for what he's allowed to get away with. It's incredible. But it was good to see the Rockets take that punch in the face and then take the woodshed.
I mean, for the vast duration of the time they've been the number 2 seed, people have just put an asterisk there and they've said, well, this, well, that. And what it really all boils down to is they don't look like I like my NBA teams to look. I just, sorry about it. I need to have two stars that I can point to, and they. I don't care about your rebounding. I don't care about your defense. Rockets were number three defense in the league in the month of March, by the way. Mm-hmm. And they. It's an aesthetic thing as much as it is anything else, and then also the fact that the Rockets just, they still have to prove it.
Yes. Yeah, they're a little like the Cougs in that way. Kelvin yeah. Sampson said that after the game. I think he may have even said it in a cut that we played. Like, but the Cougs don't do it in a way that is aesthetically pleasing to people. It's maybe not the style of basketball that the casual fan sits down and wants to watch, because they do it with grit. They do it with crashing the boards. They're not a great offensive team, although the Cougs probably shoot it better than the Rockets do. They've got guys that can knock it down from three.
Yeah.
But they're very similar in their they're very similar culturally, I think. They're very similar in that their superpower is just grit and getting it done at the defensive end and on the glass. And yeah. And so I think the question with the Rockets is, does that hold up when it becomes much more of a half court game in the postseason? Because the Rockets are not a good half court. With Fred VanVleet or no Fred VanVleet, this is not a good half court offensive team. A lot of ISO, a lot of jump, you know, a lot of low percentage shots, but they make up for it with grit on the boards, and they make up for it at the other end of the floor. Is that a formula that's going to beat good teams? It was a formula to beat good teams this weekend, like a drum. They beat both of these teams very soundly over the weekend.
And I think the question is, okay, how does it fare over a 7-game series or a 5-game series? And usually, okay, the better teams or the more talented teams, they step it up the proverbial notch in the postseason, and they start to get a beat on what you can and can't do. But I think the thing that counteracts that is, if you're a team that can genuinely sustain that kind of energy and effort over the course of 5 to 7 games, to where you just don't burst at the seams, or you just at some point you don't just fall under the weight of all your own effort. And I think the Rockets potentially might have that. Mm-hmm. The Cougs obviously certainly proved that they do have that. It's just, can you do it over the course of a series? You have to be special. It's not enough to be just really good at steals, or really good at rebounding, or really good at defense. You got to be able to sustain that throughout an entire series versus talented teams. And I think they've shown more and more that whatever the glitches they had with playing back-to-back games on the road, the youth that they have, I think they've grown and matured in a lot of ways. And I'm feeling way more confident that this brand of basketball can sustain in the playoffs, more so than I would have been, let's say, even if you get rid of the lull there in February. Mm-hmm. Just even if you got rid of that, I still wouldn't have been as confident about it, let's say, at the end of 2024 as I am right now.
Yeah, I think the big things are, does the style of play hold up? And then, you know, when you need baskets at the end of the game, is Jalen Green going to be a guy that can go get you buckets at the end of the game? Because that's probably going to be the guy they're leaning on to get offense. He was great last night. You know, he was a huge part of them burying the Warriors in the second half of that game. Text message. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. The referees treat Draymond like the town idiot that just has wacky behavior running around the middle of the town, and people just ignore him. That's true.
It becomes almost just a fixture to where people... there is a little, very much of a small-town vibe to that, yeah. To where there's some crazy guy that everybody knows he's crazy, but by and large, he's... Except usually in the small town, it's not a violent person. It's just the guy that, all right, every now and then he doesn't wear his pants.
Yeah.
And that's Carl. Yeah. What are you going to do about Carl?
Yeah.
You know, he's largely harmless.
Right.
Or he's just going to, all right, he's kind of lingering over that woman. And you're like, yeah, I know, but she's known him since high school, and she knows he's harmless. It doesn't bother her.
Yeah.
Except that in this instance, Carl will push it too far.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
Carl will you know, make physical contact.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point, Carl needs to disappear.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of a small town. Somebody can disappear and nobody asks too many questions.
That's it, man.
That's bound to happen to Carl at
some
point.
The town's referee can kick Carl out of the town at some point. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carl's not just every 10 minutes.
Bury him in a swamp is more what I was thinking.
Every 10 minutes screaming the word, the government! Just for no reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the Rockets get the win last night. We're getting some texts about the Cougs, too. People are fired up. Tweak my Knipple, champagne and ripple. Sales go triple. Took my teenage sons. I don't even know what that means. Took my teenage sons to the game Saturday. Wow. just wow. Yeah, Cougs repped out, man. There were a lot of Cougs there on Saturday.
No, it was a great environment, and Hakeem was there, obviously. A moment at the end where Olajuwon wasn't allowed up onto the
did
court.
Did you see? I was going to say, did you see that?
Onto the stupid elevated that court crazy. That they have for these games.
Yeah. Hakeem Olajuwon, the greatest legend in the history of the program, wanted to go up and celebrate with the team on the dais up there. Some security guy's like, nope, sorry, but I'm Hakeem Olajuwon. I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to stay down here with the people.
Got some little something we call rules and regs around these parts.
That's
it, man. I saw a lot of people saying, how does that guy not know who Olajuwon is? And I think, no, remember, this is in San Antonio. I think they knew exactly who Olajuwon is.
That's right. That's a good point.
That's some dude that's trying to stick up for David Robinson somehow.
That's a really good point. That is good. Man, the last time the Cougs were at this stage, Olajuwon was a college basketball player. 40 years. 41 years. In Georgetown and Patrick Ewing back in the day.
I know, and that was another part when I saw people saying, how does that guy not know who Hakeem Olajuwon was? I had to be real and be like, listen, fellas, we're getting up there in years, okay? I think there's like probably a lot of people in their 20s that don't know who Hakeem Olajuwon is.
I was going to say, if this guy's like 33 years old or younger, he may not fully know. Yeah. He may have heard of Hakeem Olajuwon, but wouldn't know it if he was walking up to him to try to get on stage there. It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
It's not like in Olajuwon, it doesn't have it, like Patrick Ewing looks distinct whether you're a basketball fan or not.
Yeah.
You know Patrick Ewing when you see Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
Olajuwon, I could see if you're younger and you might not know what Olajuwon necessarily looks like if you're not from Houston.
There was a picture somebody took, and I apologize, I don't know who it was, but it wound up on my Twitter timeline. Hakeem was at Buc-ee's on his like all the other Houstonians, stopped at Buc-ee's, like whichever one is midway between here and San Antonio, just Hakeem just popping in to get some beaver nuggets and a brisket sandwich and a bottle of Powerade or something. Buc-ee's. That was great. I love that. Draymond
it's got to be hard if you're Hakeem. I mean, it's rare for him to go anywhere with probably a 60 or 70 mile radius of Houston to go anywhere unnoticed or unrecognized.
Yeah.
Especially a Buc-ee's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you got it. Well, a Buc-ee's, it's full of Cougs fans.
Yeah, on their way back.
Yeah, it's not like you're just stopping at the Buc-ee's in League City on the way home from the beach or something like that, and you're like, I'm thirsty, I got to get something. And it's a bunch of citizens in there that are just watching. I mean, he's probably recognized in there, too. In that Buc-ee's, it was a photo op for a bunch of people. You know, like, you got to stop and be friendly and take selfies and things like that, too, which is fine. I'm sure Hakeem is a very friendly fella.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't need to start a fund for him or anything.
No.
He'll make it. No, I'm sure he was enjoying it and basking it. That was probably his favorite time he's been recognized at a Buc-ee's in the last 20
years. Yes, on the way to the Final Four. Get to watch your team play basketball and get to watch him again tonight and listen to him here on Sports Radio 610. Text message exactly. Can the Rockets sustain the high energy over a 7-game series and against multiple teams? I think this is where their youth comes in. Like the inexperience is one thing, but the flip side to that is you got young legs throughout the series,
and you get it spread out a little bit during the playoffs.
It's not as
grueling of a schedule. The travel doesn't hurt you. Yeah, you don't have back to back different road opponents where you're traveling at night.
Yep.
So that part of it, I'm glad that they went through a period of time where. I know the sentiment, the knee-jerk reaction is always, in myself included, like, come on, you guys, you bunch of little rich crybabies. Whoa, you can't play back-to-back. But for whatever it's worth, Udoka himself, who's not a new age softie or anything, like Udoka, you know, blamed or at least presented that as an explanation at various times during the season. It's not a concern during the playoffs.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a very victorious Monday here for the city of Houston. We've mentioned it, Rockets, two big wins over the weekend. The Cougs are in the finals tonight. Again, you can hear that here on Sports Radio 610. We haven't even talked about the Astros yet. They took 2 out of 3, which is not a big deal in Minnesota, but the way in which they won yesterday and one particular thing that happened is a huge deal, especially heading to Seattle to start a series with the Mariners tonight. We'll talk about that in headlines coming up next.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jill, a registered dietitian. When I meet with patients, they usually think I'm going to tell them to throw out their favorite snacks. But don't worry, your Cheetos are safe. That's not how this works. I help my patients build healthier habits based on their lifestyle and goals without guilt or restriction. Nourish connects dietitians like me with people like you who are ready to take control of their health. Your appointments could be fully covered through your insurance since 94% of Nourish patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, we got a lot to get into here in headlines because it was a good weekend for Houstonians. Let's start with the Cougs and the win on Saturday night. An historic win, 70-67 over the Duke Blue Devils. Here are the various times that the Cougs were trailing by certain amounts in this game. Duke led by 14 with 8 minutes and 3 seconds left in the game. At that point, there was a 98.5% chance that Duke was going to win that game, according to the win probability charts. Duke led by 9 with a little over 2 minutes to go. They led by 6 with 34 seconds left. They led by 3 with 25 seconds left. They led by 1 with 19 seconds left. They led by negative 3 when the buzzer sounded at the end. 70-67, the final score. And Seth, the fact that, I mean, there's so many things to dig into. That Juwan Roberts is the one knocking down those free throws. A 1-1, by the way. Like, that he knocked down the 2 free throws after he got fouled by Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg went over the back. Marginal call, but we'll take it. Duke gets plenty of calls. They can't complain about anything.
And he went over the back. You call it, don't call it, whatever it was. Score some damn points, okay?
Yep.
You want to really complain. And I've seen, to their credit, I've seen a lot of Duke fans say, like, all right, people, like, settle the hell down.
Good,
all right?
Good.
We don't get every call, and you got to score some points.
63% free throw shooter calmly steps to the line and just drains them both. Hit the front rim, hit the backboard, rolls in. Like, he knocked them both down.
And it was everything that you would hope in terms of just Juwan Roberts in the second half being left alone with Cooper Flagg. And you don't have to shut him down. Cooper Flagg still scores 27 points on the night, but he did it inefficiently. And the final shot, Cooper Flagg gets it, and it's not an easy shot because Juwan Roberts has his hands up. And Cooper Flagg's got a history of kind of shrinking in the last final moments of some of these close games with Duke. And that's what he did in this one.
Yeah.
Clanked it.
It was great because there were, like, the mistakes that were being made by Duke were across the board. You know, Knipple getting that layup blocked by JoJo Tugler with under a minute to go. As you pointed out, Seth, Cooper Flagg not being able to do anything down the stretch in that game. Proctor dribbling a ball off his leg to turn the ball over, like, to help keep the Cougs in the game. And on the flip side, you had LJ Cryer, who will get acknowledged at 720 today, because it was his shooting efforts when this game was kind of out of hand that kind of kept the Cougs within shouting distance. He was 6 of 9 from three-point land in this game. Emmanuel Sharp's three-pointer with about 30 seconds left to cut it to 3. And not just that with Sharp. I mean, Sharp had some strong takes to the hole down the stretch. Emmanuel Sharpe is a tough kid. Tugler's block shot, Juwan Roberts knocking down the free throws. Like, everybody was in on the act with this game.
And then the, I mean, the three threes that they hit at the end of the first half, that was a huge, vital, vital lifeline. Like, that kept them afloat at the very least.
Well, that's the thing Kelvin Sampson said after the game is, you know, I think somebody, whatever interview, I can't remember if it was the press conference or Tracy Wolfson or whoever, but somebody asked him, like, what was the mood in the locker room at halftime? He said the mood in the locker room was like, we played like crap and we're down six to Duke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were upbeat about their chances going into the second half.
And it was, you know, we talked about it last week that for them to win the game, it would probably have to be a game that was in the 60s.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that game for the first, until the final several minutes.
Yeah.
It was a game that was going to be played in the 70s, and ultimately it ends up, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out there. But very clear, they played their game extremely well and made Duke look like a team that had never seen a press before.
That's right. That's right.
They were like, hey, what's this? Is this legal?
Are you allowed to
there
do
was
this?
Yeah. What's going on?
Is this a torpedo bat? Is this a torpedo bat? Speaking of which,
running basketball this is.
With this full court press.
What's up with all these athletes out here playing aggressively in the final minutes of a game? Duke.
That's right. The Astros yesterday, we haven't even talked about the Stros yet. We'll get to them as well in the 7 o'clock hour and in Acknowledge Me. But huge comeback win over the Twins. There's some good and some bad to get to from the Astros this weekend. We'll start with the good. The big question, Seth, will that Yordan Alvarez home run be the enema that unclogs his hitting efforts right now? You know, like, is this, we've seen that with, we've seen that, I know it's a graphic analogy.
Yeah, I wish you hadn't put it that way.
Sorry about that. Will this be the Drano that unclogs the sink that is Yordan Alvarez? But he hits the home run, first pitch, ninth inning to tie the game up yesterday at 7, two-run homer. I mean, and it was a classic Yordan home run, like second deck, first pitch, you knew it from the sound with which it hit the bat, that thing was gone. And this is what we typically see with Yordan when he gets in one of these mini slumps. He hits a home run, and then it's like, okay, that's the warning label for the rest of the league, is we're about to see some classic Yordan, and they need that, right? That they're 4-5 right now, and they're getting such a horrible offensive performance from so many people. I feel like I feel okay about where the Astros are right now.
Yordan, this is where, with Yordan, there's almost, I would say there's zero chance that he's going to be, you know, as bad as he's been over the first couple weeks.
Agreed.
For any stretch of time. When I was nerding up and going on Baseball Savant and looking at his ex-WOBA and all that, this is the worst stretch he's had in his career in terms of extended really bad play. So was that the moment where he turns it around? Perhaps. I'm just not overly concerned about him. I think the thing that I was most excited about this weekend was to see Paredes and to see Brendan Rodgers, really get it going. And to see Altuve continue to do what he's been doing. He's been hitting very well. He had his first official error on Saturday, and it was a bad one. And yet, the vast majority of playing in the outfield has been good with Altuve.
Yeah.
Tracking the ball, some of the plays he's made in the gap, all of that has been very good. The one simple thing that he's having a hard time doing is taking his ball out of the glove. And in his transition to throwing, that big glove and some of the unfamiliarity of having to hurry throws in critical situations, or sometimes even on Saturday, it didn't need to be a critical situation. He's trying to take the ball out of his glove to throw to third for a play that he wasn't going to make.
Right.
And he drops it, and you end up scoring a run.
Scores, yeah.
But by and large, he's been pretty good. That's his first official error. I think there was one that could have been chalked up an error in the Giants series, but still, I'm feeling okay with it, especially because he's hitting well. Far, the experiment's working out all right. If what you're trying to do is take a load off Altuve and allow him to still hit, then there you go.
Yeah, if he's going to hit 340 or whatever he's hitting right now, then you got to find a way to keep him in the lineup. The one scary one.
Okay. And we got to get to Altuve's base running.
So there were two scary things with Altuve yesterday. The first one was the ball that he looked like he was losing in the sun.
Yeah.
And it hit. Thank God he had a big glove on, because it hit like the last two fingers of the finger part of the glove and just landed in his mitt. Like, that was very fortunate.
It was, that was dicey all this entire series.
Yes.
It seems there are so many high pop-ups and fly balls where guys are having a hard time managing the sun.
What the hell was he doing in extra in extra innings on the base
extra innings. Paredes, let me paint a picture for everybody. Paredes is up. Yeah. The Astros have a 2-run lead.
Yeah.
And Paredes, who's 4-for-5 on the day.
Yeah.
You got Altuve at second, nobody on first.
Right.
No real reason whatsoever for Altuve to try to steal.
Yeah.
And yet, attempt to steal he did. He was thrown out easily.
Well, the only thing I could think of, there was one out at the time.
Yeah.
And maybe he's trying to get to if he gets to third, then a fly ball brings you home, that kind
of
thing.
Right, right. You just smoke him if you got him,
But your first point was a good one, Seth, which is this guy's 4-for-5. And you got Yordan coming up after him. Don't get it out. Like the worst.
And you're hitting, and they're hitting this reliever.
Yes,
they're crushing this reliever in this inning.
So would you rather just have two cracks at Altuve coming home from second with the two hottest hitters in the lineup? Because I'll remind you that Yordan's at bat before the home run. He hit a line drive to left field that Bader had to make a diving catch on, or else that would have been a 2 RBI, or at least a 1 RBI hit. And so you've got your two, you got your two best hitters, at least on that day, coming up with you on second. But the better option was to try to steal third before the pitcher even made a move to home plate.
The thing is, where I give him a little bit of a pass is the aggressive base running paid off for him earlier. He tagged up from third on a play that was a super, super aggressive play, and it worked out for him by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah.
And I think it emboldened him just a little too much.
Win some, lose some.
Yeah.
All right.
He's also his, going on the nerd site on Baseball Savant, he's running slower than he has in a long time.
Altuve?
His actual sprint speed so far this year.
I don't like that.
He's showing his age.
I don't like that at
all.
He
just looked kind of rough this entire series. His hair was always disheveled. He just looked, he's always got a 5 o'clock shadow, but it looked almost like a haggard 5 o'clock shadow.
Well, and then he's wearing shades all the time now because he's in the outfield.
He looks hungover.
I think that adds to it as well. Now that you mentioned it. All right, headlines real quick. We dug deep into the Rockets in the previous segment. If you want to listen, we've got the rewind feature for you. They beat two good teams over the weekend. They beat the best team in the West by 13 at home on Friday. They beat the hated Warriors, who may or may not be a playoff opponent. We'll see. We'll have to touch on that. The Western Conference playoff picture beneath the Rockets is super intriguing this last week of games coming up here, and it matters to the Rockets. We'll get to that a little later in the show, but they beat the Warriors last night 106-90. Some NFL stuff we'll get to a little later. Colorado's pro day was this weekend. A lot of people talking about Shadur, where he might wind up. Travis Hunter now might have a surefire place he's on his way to in Cleveland. They're talking about that. And last thing, Seth, the favorite for the Chargers opponent in Brazil in the opening weekend of the season is the Kansas City Chiefs.
I know.
I wanted you and I to make that road trip to Sao Paulo.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not brushing up my Portuguese until I find out for sure.
Yep. That'll be schedule be coming out soon, man. What's today? April 7th? Like a month from now. We're going to find out the schedule. It's flying by. There's teams that are starting their off-season workout program today. If you have a new head coach, you can start your off-season workout program a week ahead of time. This off-season just flew by, man. Draft coming up 2 weeks from Thursday, so we got that as well. All right, those are your headlines for today. We still got a ton to get into. If you missed it earlier, we'll circle back and dig into the anatomy of a victory, the anatomy of a choke job, depending on which side you're on. Cougs and Duke on Saturday. We'll get into that coming up next. Acknowledge Me coming up at 7:20. Stay there.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.